Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur is found at the beginning of the new perek, the ninth perek of Nedarim, top of Samach Dalid. This is a perek that you'll notice is a rather short perek. It measures 3 dapim in length. The topic of this perek is the absolution of vows. One who had vowed and wants it absolved, he approaches a Talmud Chacham, a Torah sage, and through a discussion between them, the result will be the annulment of the vow. There are 2 different tracks that exist for vow annulment. One is called Charota, and the other is referred to by the term Pesach. Charota is a situation where a person simply expresses his regrets over having made the vow. Whether or not that method is effective in having the vow rescinded is dependent on different opinions. The other method is through a discussion, it's revealed that the one who made the vow, had he known certain information that he didn't know of at the time that he made the vow, so he never have made the vow. So one is a direct expression of regret concerning the vow itself. That's charota, which we won't be focusing on in our discussion. The other has to do with Pesach. And in order to really appreciate that, we have to see the examples. So the topic heading that we have included on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, we've written Shtei Kulos Shel Rabbi Eliezer Benedorim. 2 points of leniency will be featured on the part of Rabbi Eliezer regarding vows. Number 1, Poischin B'chvoid Ovavimo. 1 point, and you can see in the text, you'll find that's illustrated with a Roman numeral number 1. 1 is that we can motivate the person to have his vow rescinded through mentioning to him that if your vow continues, so that will bring dishonor to your parents. And the second leniency that Rabbi Eliezer has is called Poischin Benolad, where there were circumstances that were not present at the time that he took the vow, that he made the vow. The circumstances that we introduce to the client are circumstances that arose only later on. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we can use the later developed circumstances as a basis for absolving the individual, the client, from his vow. I know that sounds a bit abstract, but we'll see it in a more concrete form as we go into the text. The Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Poischin li Adam bechvod ava v'imo, v'chachomim oisrin. Rashi at the top, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Poischin li Adam bechvod ava v'imo, she'omrim lo. We tell the client, the chacham, the sage would say to the person who has the vow, Ilu hoyisa yodea, had you known, sheyimru alavicha, that they will say regarding your father, oilo la'av shegodel ben roshe kaseh shuporutz v'nedor, woe unto a man like you who raised a son that's so free with vowing. Shekein v'shoim darkin lindor, it's the way of the wicked to vow. Kidamrinu liel b'pirkin kamos, we said in the first parak of this masechta. V'im omar, love, if the son would respond, no, I didn't know that, they would say that about my father. Dilu hoisi yodea lo hoisi noder. Had I known that that's the way people would speak about my father, I wouldn't have vowed. Matirin lo. We will use that information to absolve him of the vow. The Chachomim Osrin, Rashi says, why did the Chachomim not accept this? Isn't it so that the fellow said, well, had I known that, would I say that about my father, I wouldn't have vowed. So they say, Shafilu ein daitu lishare, noisnim lo das lomar shi ishare. What we're fearful of is someone who really doesn't regret having taken the vow, even with the shame brought onto his father, he would be too embarrassed to say otherwise. So it's almost as if he's being led into saying, I wouldn't have done it, so as to preserve his parents' esteem. But in truth, the Chachamim are fearful that this guy would have vowed anyway. Simply out of embarrassment, he says, I wouldn't have vowed, when in fact he would have. Omar Rebbe Tzadok, Ad shepoischin loy b'chvod aviv imo, yiftach loy b'chvod hamokoyim. We look at the rush to appreciate this. Yiftach loy b'chvod hamokoyim, the rush commentary that we're reading is found to the lower extreme of the narrow lines. Bo lahakshis al divrei Rebbe Eliezer. The Mishnah at this point, namely Rebbe Tzadok, is coming to ask on Rebbe Eliezer, Ki hechi de poischin b'chvod aviv imo, just like you are willing to have the Pesach in terms of parents' esteem, v'lo chayshinon shemo yishaker, and you don't seem to be worried that the guy might be lying. In other words, he sincerely regrets having his parents be cast in a bad light. Well, then yiftachu lo nami b'chvod hamokom v'yomru lo, then a Pesach using the honor of the Almighty should also be a suitable means of absolution, and say to the client, Ilu ha'yisa yodea shetikore ra lifnei hamokom klum ha'yisa noder, had you known that you would be considered wicked in the eyes of God, would you have vowed? And you see that we don't do that. So that's what Rebbe Tzadok is objecting to. Let us take a look at Rashi's explanation as well. Rashi on the third narrow line from the beginning of the narrow lines, Rebbe Tzadok goyimer at shepoischin lo b'chvod aviv imo v'chulei, klomar, im kein yechoylim liftach lo b'chvod aviv imo poschin lo nami b'chvod hamokom. If, as you say, you can base the absolution on parents' honor, why not base the absolution on the Almighty's honor? She yechoylim loymar lo nami, shekineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu oiseh shenoydev roshehu l'shamayim. By vowing, you are wicked in the eyes of heaven. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, Im Cain, if you were to accept that, then Ein Nidorim. This is, if you look in the Rosh commentary, Heshivu Chachomim de Rebbe Lezer, Meha Lo Tesayon. The opinion that defends Rebbe Eliezer would say, you're not making a point by suggesting liftoach b'chvod hamokom. The Af Rebbe Eliezer mode b'ha devadai yishoker. You can't compare Poischin b'chvorov avimo to poischin b'chvor amokom. In this case, if you were to tell someone, had you known that by vowing you would be wicked in the eyes of God, would you have vowed? Here he'll definitely lie. De lo chotzef inish kuli hai shiomar, a person, no one would say, yeah, I would have vowed anyway. Shiomar shelohoya meniach b'shvil zeh, that because of the honor of God, even with the honor of God in mind, I still would have vowed. The Lodomi, and the Rush here expands his idea a bit further, but the main point is that in the case, and this is a Rabbi Lezer's point, that in the case of parents' honor, since in potential a person would have said, well, in all due respect to my parents, I would have vowed anyway. When he says, oh, had I known my parents' esteem would have been brought into question, I wouldn't have vowed, we believe him. And once again, why is that? Because people might say, I would have vowed anyway, even though my parents' honor would have been besmirched. However, no one would say that even though God's honor has been questioned, I would have vowed anyway. No one would say that. Therefore, when a person says, had I known that God's honor would have been brought into question, I wouldn't have vowed, we can't trust that. We continue in the Mishnah. Umoidim chachomim l'Reb Lezer bedover shebeinoi levein oviv v'imoi shepoisin lo b'chvoid oviv v'imoi. The chachomim who didn't accept the idea of poisin b'chvoid oviv v'imo, however, if it's a matter that the vow, let's say, directly affected his mother or father, that in a case like that, the honor of the parents can be used as a basis for absolution. The Rosh is very, very terse on this, and he says, "Bedover shebeino levein ovavimo kagon shehidir oviv," where a man directly imposed a vow upon his father or against his father, there the Chachamim agree that the idea of kavod avavimo can be used as a basis of absolution. V'od Omar Rabbi Eliezer. The word v'od means, in this case, another leniency of Rabbi Eliezer is poischin benolad. We'll see more examples of this as we go on in the mission itself, but right now it means you can use as the basis of absolution information that wasn't present at the time of the vow. V'chachomim oisrin, the chums do not allow poischin benolad. Ketzad. Now, illustrations. And you can see on the side under the Mivneh, heading the structural note, we have a volcano shape, or a trapezoid, and the word konem is highlighted. And we've written, these are dugmois shel nolad, the double underline mark you can see, are examples that will appear in the Mishnah that reflect the idea of nolad. Nolad literally means something that is born. And in this context, it means that at the time of the vow, it had not yet been around. It was born later on. The Mishnah continues with the examples. Omar kainim she'eni nene li'ish ploni. He vows not to benefit from so-and-so. Vinas says soifer, and that so-and-so became a scribe. A scribe is a person that prepares documents, and he is someone upon whom everyone is dependent. So at the point that the person vowed not to benefit from Mr. X, Mr. X was not yet a scribe. Later on, he became a scribe. And if the Madir here is the one who makes the vow, through the vow, isn't going to be able to benefit from this guy now, it's going to be a big loss to him. So he wants to have the vow absolved. So if you hold poischin benolad, then you can use this information as the basis of absolution. O shehoya masi es beno. A person, when he made the vow, the subject of the vow had a child, but wasn't of marriageable age, or it wasn't anticipated that the child was going to get married. And as time went on, the mudar then was marrying off his child. And if the vow would take hold, so the vower wouldn't be able to go to the wedding. There's a comment made in the Tosfos, which reflects what we just said. There's a little star in the second line of the wide lines of the Tosfos commentary. O shemasi beno v'tzochli konis lebeisa l'chubas beno. And he has to go into the the house to participate in the wedding. The Mishnah continues. The Omar, and the one who made the vow, says, Ilu hois yodea shehu nasa soifer she hoya masi es beno bekoroiv, lo hois yino there. Had I known that so-and-so was going to become a sofer, or that so-and-so was going to marry off his child, soon after I had made the vow, well, I wouldn't have made the vow. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, that is a basis of absolution. According to the Chachamim, no. Koinim l'bayezeh shani nichnas. Person vowed not to enter a particular house. The naseh beis haknesses, and that house was converted into a shul, into a synagogue. Omar, and the vower says, Ilu hoyisiyodea shunase beis haknesses, had I known that that structure would have been converted into a synagogue, lo hoyisino there, I wouldn't have vowed. Rebbe Lezer matir, Rebbe Lezer says that is an acceptable absolution, and v'chachomim osrim, the chachomim say not so. So you have a fundamental machloikis between the Chachomim and Rebbe Lezer, whether you can use Nolad as the basis for vow absolution. As far as what is the source for this, the Gemara will deal with this later on Omid Beis. The Gemara. My Ein Nidorim. Use your arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and align it with the arrow above. The response we saw in the Mishnah was, Im kein ein nedorim. What do we mean by that? So we take a look, in order to appreciate the Gemara's question, we look in the Rashi. You see the Rashi four lines from the end. My ein nedorim de ka'omar le Rabbi Tzadok le Rabbi Eliezer ein nedorim. What was his intention when he said that? So, in answer to that, we see in the Gemara two answers. Abaye, and at the top of Omid Bey's Rava, we read in the Gemara, Ma Omar Abaye im kein ein nedorim nitorin yofe. We look in the Ran, my ein nedorim, Omar Abaye im kein ein nedorim nitorim yofesh, shafilu im mitchila, lo hoya nimna mipnei kvod hamokom. Even if at the time he made the neder, at the time he vowed, he would have made the vow anyway, even if it would be a disparagement to the Almighty. Lo Yoiz ponof bekach lifnei chacham v'yeshakir v'yoymar lo yis yodea lo yis yinoder. He wouldn't be so bold to express that feeling in front of the chacham, but rather he will lie and he will say, oh, had I known that it would be a disparagement to the Almighty, I certainly would not have vowed. Once again, that's a lie. In truth, this guy would have vowed anyway. Nimtzah shein nedorim mutorin yofe. As a result of that, the absolution is really not an absolution in Mishum Hachi, Moide Rebbe Lezer the Rabbanon, and as a result of this, Rebbe Lezer at this point would agree with the Rabbanon, Shein Poisel Lo B'Kvod HaMokom, that you don't use that, the issue of Kvod HaMokom, the honor of the Almighty, as a basis for vow absolution. Umiu B'Chvidov V'Imo Polik. However, when it came to honor of parents, there Rebbe Lezer disagrees. The Rabbanon Asri, the Rabbanon say, no, even with Kvod Ovavimo, we will not permit that as being the basis of an absolution. The Sevira Lahu, the Rabbanon are of the opinion, Lo Shna B'Chvod HaMokom V'Lo Shna B'Chvod Ovavimo. No distinction is made between these two. Ein Odom Meiz Hilkoch Ein Poschen. A person would not be so bold as to say in front of the Chacham that I would have vowed anyway. And since that potential doesn't exist, when he says, oh, I certainly would not have vowed, had I known that, it would have been a disparagement, we just don't rely on him. Rebbe Lezer Sovar, Bechod HaMokom, Hu Dein Oda Meiz. It's true that with regard to Kvod HaMokom, a person wouldn't be Meiz Panim, he wouldn't be so bold as to say that he would have vowed anyway in front of when he's present in front of the Chacham. Avo Bechod Ovavimo Meiz. But with regard to the honor of one's parents, he would have told the Chacham, I know it's at their honor or expense, but I would have vowed anyway. Hilchoch Pesachim, therefore, we will rely on that for Pesach, namely, we will trust the guy when he says, oh, had I known that would have been a disparagement to my parents, I would not have vowed, that he is saying that truthfully and not simply in order to save face. So as far as Abaye is concerned, when Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah says, oh, im kein ein nidorim, it means that if you would rely on poschim b'chvod hamokom, so then, as Abaye says, ein nidorim nitorin yafeh, it wouldn't be a reliable basis for absolving vows. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The Rava Omar, Rava, he explains the expression in the mission of Ein Nidorim. He says, Im Kein Ein Nidorim Nish'olim L'Chacham. According to Rava, if you're going to allow Pesachim V'Chvod HaMokom, then people will not go to sages for vow absolution. Rashi at the top says, Ein Nidorim Nish'olim L'Chacham, Shoyim Ribalibo. The person would say to himself, Ma'li Leilech Eitzel Chacham, why should I go to the Chacham? Lo tzarich, I don't need to go. Devadai mutarhu. It certainly is a released and annulled vow. De kol kach haneu umatiro hu ba'atzmo. Ve hatoira omra, the problem with this is, HaTorah Omer, the Torah says, Lo yachel dvoro, hu eino mochel v'lo achirim mochelim lo. A person cannot absolve himself of his own vows. You need a chacham to absolve the vow. The Ran elaborates, and we look at the Ran on the top line, V'rov Omer, im kein ein adorim nisham l'chacham, im kein the person l'b'chvod ha'mokom. Rabbi Eliezer says back to Rabbi Tzolik in the Mishnah that you would, that if you would be able to be posech b'chvod ha'mokom, that you would be able to absolve a person of his vows because of the disparagement to the Almighty, lo yu nidorim nisham l'chacham shekol echad v'echad posech pesach zeh l'atzmo. Everyone would use this as a pesach for himself, shrei pesach zeh roi l'chol nidorim. This is a type of opening for absolution that's relevant to every neder. So that if you were to use a kvod hamokom as the basis of vow absolution, there would be no one would ever approach chachomim, sages, for vow absolution. The Tosfos says a slightly different twist to this. The Tosfos commentary says, "Ein nedarim nisham lechacham im poschim b'chvod hamokom below charot acheres." If you would be using the honor of Hashem as the basis without any additional expression of regret, kol echad vechod yatir nidro b'fnei asmo. Everyone will annul their own vows. V'yasi lezulzuli, and people will come to be very offhanded with regard to vows. So right now we have a machlokes between Abaye and Rava in the interpretation of the Mishnah of Ein Nidorim. The Gemara continues, Tanan, Umoidim Chachomim L'Reb Lezer B'Dover Shebeino L'Vein Oviv V'Imo Shepoyschen Loi B'Chvoid Oviv V'Imo. The Chachomim, who originally were opposed to a Pesach based on Kavod Oviv V'Imo, when it comes to a Neder that's Beino L'Vein Oviv V'Imo, then you can use this Pesach. Bishlamo L'Abaye, the Omar Im Kein Ein Nedorim Nitoren Yofeh. With regard to Abaye's approach, that if you were to use Kavod HaMokom, so then you wouldn't have a reliable Pesach Hocha. In this case, why do the Chomim agree with Rebbe Lezer with regard to a Pesach B'Chvod Ov Avimo? Hocha, in this case, Kevan the Ich Tziflei, since you're dealing with someone that was so bold so as to make a neder against his own parents, where he prohibited his folks from benefiting from his properties, you can assume then, Ha Ich Tziflei, this guy who made such a vow is probably a big chutzpan, or a big mechutzef. He's a person of that demeanor, and therefore, if he says, had I known that by vowing thusly, my parents' honor would have been disparaged, you can rely on this guy that he must be telling the truth, because this kind of guy would just as well have said, oh, I don't care about their honor, I would have vowed anyway. So, with Abaye's approach to the Mishnah about if you were to use Kavod HaMokom, you would have a weakness in the basis of the HaTorah, because of our suspecting whether people will tell the truth, we understand then here in this quote from the Seif of the Mishnah why the Chachamar Mamodireb to Rebbe Lezer in a case of a neder that's Beino Levein Ovevimo. Elo Lerova Diomar Im Kein Ein Nedorim Nishalim Lechacham. According to Rava, that said that by being Poisech B'Kvod HaMokom, people are going to absolve their own vows. Well, Hocha Amai Poson, why over here did Chachamim agree with Rebbe Lezer that you can use Kvod Ov Avimo as a Pesach? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Ela L'Rava. Rashi we're looking at is across from here. Ela L'Rava D'Yomar. Hainu Taimo Mishum Dein Nedorim Nisholim L'Chacham. Hocha Nami Bin Nedorim Shebeino L'Vein Ov Avimo. Amai Modu Rabbonin. Why do the Rabbonin concede over here that you can be Poseach B'Kvod Ov Avimo? Ho Nami Lo Osu Lishile Lechachem. This kind of vow also, a person will not come to the Chachem Umati Ubatzmo. He'll annul it on his own. Bechvod of Avimo, using the parent's honor as a basis. The Gemara answers, Amri, Kevon Dechol Nidri Lo Sagi Lahon Delav Chachem. Chachanami Poschen. Rashi, Omar, Amri, we answer the objection to Rav as follows. Kevon d'sha'ar nidorim lo sagi b'lo she'la l'chacham. Since other vows, one needs to go to a chacham. Mishum de'ein poischin b'chvod ov v'imo. Because of the rabbi's position, the chachamim's position, that you don't use kvod ov v'imo as a basis for vow annulment, shelo yatir ba'atzmo, so as not to coming to annul for yourself. Hacha b'neder shebeino levein oviv imo modu rabbona de poschin. Since in all other cases we don't use kvod oviv imo as a basis for vow annulment, and therefore a person is going to have to go to a chacham. In this case, the Rabbanan agree, they concede that will allow you to use Kvod Ov Avimo as basis. The Bishvil High Neder Greda, the Pasul B'Kvod Ov Avimo, because of this particular vow, where the rabbis allowed using for Ovavima as a basis for the annulment, lo asila meimar, a person isn't going to come to think ein nedarim nishalim lechacham, kevan dekulu nedarim ba'amo nishalim lechacham, since all other vows, one does have to turn to the chacham. So in this case, in this isolated type neder, we will relax our position and allow Pesach b'chvod Ovavimo. Once again, and why is that? Because in all other vows, as a result of the stance taken by the Chachamim, that we do not allow a Pesach b'chvod Oviv v'imo, there is no fear that in this case a person will end up absolving himself of the vow. The Gemara continues. V'oid Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Poischem v'noilad. My time of Rebbe Lezer. Here we have a double underline marking on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivneh. We've indicated Tamom Shel Rebbe Lezer V'Rabbonam B'Machloikas in Poskim B'Nolad. We feature the reasons for each position. So what is the basis for Rebbe Lezer that we are Posech B'Nolad? Omar Rav Chisda Omar Kro. The Posuk says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, who was, at the time that this pasuk appears, is located by his father-in-law, Yisro, in the country of Midian, after having run away from Egypt. That is, after Moshe Rabbeinu had run away from Egypt, the Almighty appears to Moshe and says, go back to Mitzrayim. And the Almighty says, go back to Mitzrayim, ki mesu, Kolho Anoshim, the people that were responsible for your wanting to, for your running away from Mitzrayim, and as a result of your running away from Mitzrayim and reaching the home of Yisro and vowing to stay with him, the reason, the initial reason, is no longer applicable. Why? Because the men that were seeking you out are no longer alive. V'homisa de nolad hu. The issue of death is something that is a new circumstance. Those people that were seeking him out, we'll see later how they have to do with Dosan and Aviram. According to the simple reading of the pasuk, They have since died. So that their death is a new point of information. And nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to use that as the basis of absolving the vow. The Rashi, ki meisu kol anoshim lefi shenodar Moshe liyisro shelaloshiv mitzrayim b'shulayisro anoshim avakshim es nafsho. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had vowed to Yisro that he's not going to go back to Mitzrayim because of the men that were seeking him, that were seeking revenge or seeking to kill him. Can Meforsh lekamon vayoyel Moshe posuk in Shmos Perek Beis posuk Chavalov says vayoyel Moshe posach lo amokum bekach vayoyel Moshe meant and Moshe had vowed to Yisro not to leave because of those men that were seeking him, and the Almighty allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to absolve himself of the vow. Bekach lech shuv Mitzrayim umutur luchal kedin shebishvil oisun shenadarta kvar meisim hein. For the reason that you made the vow is no longer applicable because they're dead. So what do you see from this? You see that a vow can be rescinded based on later developments, which we call nolad. V'rabbonon maitamaya. What's the basis of the rabbonon? So you notice we have a long answer marking. Kosavri hano mi maisi. The Rabbanan response is, did they really die? V'ho omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Ko mokum shneamar nitzim v'nitzavim. Whenever you see these words in the Torah, einon elo dosan v'aviram. It's a reference to those wicked individuals, dosan and aviram. Those were the people that were seeking Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And those very people were still alive at this point that the Almighty is saying, go back to Mitzrayim. So there's no issue of nolad in certain terms of their having died, they were still alive. El omer shlokish shiyordu minichsehem. Rather, what the pasuk means is they became impoverished. And Tosfos says, very importantly, he says, "Elish yodim yasem ubenolad kihai the oini modu rabbanan." It's true that their impoverishment may very well have been a new development, but that's not considered nolad. And the Rosh adds one word. Why is it not considered nolad? Because it's a common thing. People have money one day and lose it the next day. Very common situation. And therefore, the Almighty was saying, you know, the people that were seeking your life out, they're no longer a threat. They've become impoverished. And as we said before, that's not a problem of nolad. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go back. But there's no proof then, according to Rabbanan, from here, that poiskin benolad. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol odom she'ein loy bonim, choshuv kemeis. In light of what we just said regarding Dosan and Abiram having become impoverished, and as a result, the Torah used the term mesu, you have another example. Someone who has no children is considered like a person who is dead. Shenemar, and it's based on a pasuk. It's Rochel says to her husband Yankiv Avinu, "Hava li bonim, provide for me children. I want you to be with me so that we can have children together." V'im ayin meisanochin. If not, I am like dead. V'tanya arba chashuvim kemeis. There are four that are considered like the dead. Tosfos adds that categorizing people as like dead has practical bearing for prayer. In other words, you're dealing with a very dire situation, and therefore prayer is necessary. So you have four people that are considered like dead: oni umetzora v'suma umi she'ein lo bonim. A person who is impoverished, a person who is afflicted with tzoras, a blind individual, and someone that is childless. And here you can see with the diamonds we've highlighted these four individuals, and the Gemara will provide sources for each one of these points. Oni, the issue of impoverishment, as we saw before. Ki dichtiv ki mesu kol ho'anoshim. The reference to Dosan Aviram, they were mesu. And the Rosh, in his commentary, he points out they weren't mitzoroyim, and they, had they been wealthy individuals, they still would have been able to affect Moshe Rabbeinu through the fact that they commanded power, even if they had been mitzoroyim. So you see from here that they were not mitzoroyim, in other words, they were not wealthy, and the idea of their not being mitzoroyim, they would have been outside of the camp had they been mitzoroyim. So they were not afflicted with tzoras, nor would they have been considered wealthy. Otherwise, as we said, they would have been able to affect Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not blind at that point either, which the Rosh proves with a pasuk. And they had children. So the only thing that's really left for us to conclude is that they had been impoverished. The Gemara continues, Mitzora. Where do we see that a Mitzora is considered like dead? Dichtiv, the pasuk says with regard to Miriam, who had been afflicted with tzoras, al no tihi kames, the prayer made for was, let her not be considered like dead. At that point, when she was afflicted with tzoras. V'suma, a blind individual, dichtiv, the pasuk says, b'mechshachim oshivani kemesei oilam. B'mechshachim means in the darkness. And in darkness, one does not see. And hence, he is considered in this pasuk like the dead. Umi she'ein lo bonim, dichtiv hova li bonim v'imayin mesa anochi. Which, this pasuk we saw quoted above with Rachel, desirous of children, which at that point she had none of. And if not, if she doesn't have children, she considers herself like dead. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.